the race. This week we talked about assigned lanes, that we are assigned a race and assigned a lane, and that's where our study started. Because I was thinking about runners who show up to a race, how they don't pick their lane, right? Their lane is assigned. They have a number on. They know exactly which block they're going to be standing at. They didn't negotiate their lane. They didn't negotiate the length of the race. They didn't negotiate a finish line. They're just coming to run what has already been assigned to them. And that is the same with us. Somebody has already determined the lane and measured the distance and marked the boundaries before we ever start running. Right? So two truths we're going to explore, what we explored in our homework this week. I put it into two categories for designated and designed. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about, that we've been designated and designed. We have a lot of text to get to, so I hope you guys are ready to sword fight.
Yes.
You guys ready? Okay, we're going to look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And if you notice maybe in your homework that we're going to be spending a lot of time in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, because it's really the theme of the whole study. It's all springboarded off of this verse. I encourage you to commit it to memory. You probably already know it pretty well. But let's look at it. So verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Okay, that's the theme of this lesson, the race that is set before us. So let's do some observation skills. You're like, what's that? When I ask you questions and you answer them. Okay, about the verse. Observation skills. Question number one. What are we supposed to do according to the verse?
Run.
Run. That is correct. The answer is run. Okay, question number two. How are we supposed to do it?
With endurance.
With endurance. That's correct. Number three. Which race do we run?
The one set before us,
right? So what are we supposed to do?
Run with endurance.
Run, right? What we're called to do is run. I want to pull out a couple of these words. Run, it says. Okay, it means, in the Greek, it denotes action in extreme peril. Like if you were chased by a bear. So if you were under duress and you had to run, that is the word the Greek uses. It's speed, it's urgency. It requires exertion of all one's effort to overcome what it is that is chasing them. So you're not walking, you're not strolling, you're not out for a job. You're not meandering. You're running on purpose. It is an effort. It is an urgency. You're picking up your feet with purpose. You're pounding pavement. You're putting miles behind you. So when it says run, it means as if a bear was chasing you. Run the race, which puts some oomph behind it, doesn't it? Some urgency. Like we're like, oh yeah, you're out for a jog. No, run. So in the Greek, it's like, oh, like something's chasing me. Yes, that is how we're supposed to run. Okay, so think of that urgency, speed, like you have to do it. You have to run, okay? Second question was, how are we supposed to do it? We run with
endurance,
okay? Endurance. I love this definition. Here's the Greek word for endurance. Listen to this. The characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty of faith. Listen to it again. What is endurance? It's not just steadfastness or constancy. There is a lot to that. But behind it, the true full meaning is the characteristic of a man who's not swerved left or right from his deliberate purpose. His endurance is straightforward with his eyes on a goal, and he's loyal to it. Okay? Steadfastness, constancy, not swerving. You are laser focused on what you're doing. Okay, which race are we running? The one set before us. Okay, listen to that. Okay, so we're supposed to run like someone's chasing us with endurance, with laser focus on the race that is set before us because someone placed it there. Someone designed it, right? Someone sovereignly appointed the race, the lane that we are in. It's an intentional placement. It means the Lord is not reacting to your story as it unfolds. It means that he authorized it before it unfolded. He knows what the race is, and you're on it. Yes, of course, we get ourselves off track. Which is what sin is, right? Where we detour and have to be airlifted off the cliff and put back on. I've been airlifted, okay? Like, oh, whoops. I literally ran off the cliff. And then he's like, that's okay. Drop, go. Right? That's grace. But he knows your race. It doesn't throw him off. It doesn't surprise him. He knows your race. And that's, I love that. He designed your course. So the Lord himself determined and designated the lane you would run in. And nothing about your life surprises the author. It's not accidental, it's providential. The Lord marked it out himself. So our strength to endure comes from remembering who designed our course in the first place, that the Lord did. So not only is the race set before you, but the length of your course is determined. Okay, and that turns us to Psalm chapter 90. So turn to Psalm chapter 90 with me. Check out these verses. We're going to read it. So get your swords out. Check this out. Psalm chapter 90. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. And remember, if something stuck out to you, we'd love to hear it. So check this out. Chapter 90, verse 12 says this. So teach us to do what?
Number our days.
Number our days. Why? That we may get a heart of wisdom. Why are we supposed to learn to number our days?
Days are short.
It goes fast. Okay, return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Every morning we wake up, satisfy us with your love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Do you hear this? Teach us to number our days and every single sunrise. Satisfy us with your love. Because if we have that on our mind, that the Lord has given us a new sunrise and his mercies are new every morning, then we rejoice in every day, no matter what the day brought us. Right? It's wisdom. It makes your heart wise. So check this out. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. And let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish, here's my favorite verse, the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. He numbers our days. He sets those days with all they hold within them because he assigned the day to us and we're in our lane. Some courses are brief. Some courses have longevity. But all our days are assigned and held in the sovereign hand of God. Whether they're long, whether they're short, whether they're joyful, whether they're hard, it is assigned by the Lord. Moses here, this is Moses' psalm, by the way, Psalm 90. No, David didn't write them all. There's other authors in Psalms. Psalm chapter 90 is a song of Moses. Moses asked a profound thing of the Lord, that the work of his hands would be established every day that's assigned to him. Lord, may you establish the works of my hands today, because I woke up and there's a sunrise and today is assigned. So whatever you have for me to do, establish the works of my hands. In other words, he says, my days are short. Make my days count. This is wisdom. You only have the days you're assigned, ladies, and then it's over. This is our only chance to run for Jesus. This is it. This is where it all counts. This is boot camp. This is the rock quarry. This is where we run for Christ, where we earn our rewards. Everything happens right now, and it is fleeting. It's here and it's gone. So what's Moses say? Wisdom is to make every day count. That's right. Be purposeful. Every mile matters. Every season matters. Every act of obedience matters. We can't change or order or direct the course of our day. We don't know how many days we have, right? But we can make every day count that we've been given. So teach us to number our days. We can waste our time. We can kill time. We can spend time. Or we can invest time. It's totally up to us. Invest it. Send it ahead. That's what we want, right? Send it ahead. Moses says, this is wisdom. If your heart can grab this, that our days are short, that life is fleeting, if you can grab that, that is wisdom. Because every morning, every sunrise, with the new mercies, you will rejoice in the Lord. He has assigned you a day. So Lord, establish the work of our hands. This is wisdom. Okay, so the race is set before us. We know the author of our race. He's the one who gave us the lane. He's the one who determined how long our race is and where the finish line is for us. He determined the intensity, right? It's all in the Lord's sovereignty. So now that we know this, what do we do about it? We want the what do we do about it. I'm so glad you asked. Fill in the blanks for me. This verse is my favorite. You guys, check this out. Only let each person, do you guys know what the next line is? Lead the life. Listen to this. You got to slow way down when you read the word, you guys. This stuff's so good. Only let each person. How many people is that?
One.
Which is who?
Me.
You. It's Amy. Only let each person do what?
Lead the life.
Lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. Do you see that? Only let each person, that's an individual. That's every single one of us individually by name. Let each person do what?
Lead the life.
Lead the life. That's specific. It has your name tag on it, right? Lead the life that the Lord has done what?
Assigned.
You guys. This gives me goosebumps every time. That the Lord, the creator of all things, the omniscient, holy, powerful God, wrote your name, tagged it, assigned it to you. What? This is true. Write this down. Tell somebody about this. Which God has called him to. What ever is this about? Right? Slow down and let it go right into your brain cells. Let each individual believer run the race assigned to him with their name tag on it, the course you have been called to. The Lord, the King of Kings, has assigned a course to me? Yes. What?
The creator that loves us so much.
So much. It's so crazy. So often believers get discouraged. I have disillusioned by certain legs of my race, right? Things that are hard, that don't sit right. You can't really make sense of it. It's outside of our finite brain. It's because he's infinite and sovereign. Things outside of us. Right? Some legs of the race get hard, trials, hard days, blueprints that are difficult. And we are promised that we would. Because Jesus said, in this world, you will. How certain is that? Okay, you will what? Have tribulation, trials, persecution, opposition, right? In fact, he doubled down and said, listen, y'all, if they hated me, they're 100% going to hate you. That is a bumper sticker. Put that on your fridge. That's the truth. Hard days is part of the deal. Why? Because we are opposed to the king of this world, the God of this world, the spirit of the world, this broken sin nature that has taken over. We are running opposed to Satan's agenda. He does not like that. We've switched teams from dark to light. So when you're a little light bulb walking around in his domain of darkness, opposition, trial, persecution, it is all intended on purpose. Jesus is like, that is what we're here to do. Take it to the bank. Walking with Jesus is opposed to the fabric of this fallen world. It's opposite. There should be tension. If there isn't tension, we should probably check it. Because maybe we are going with the flow too much. Not every road is easy, but every road is known. So how do we do this? How do we run, like a bear is chasing us, with endurance, unswerved, right? Laser focused on what the Lord has called us to do. The race that is set before us, which means we stay in our lane, right? We don't get to pick the lane, nothing about the lane. The difficulty, intensity of the lane, the length of the lane, none of that. That's all outside of our sovereignty. That's up to the Lord. We're supposed to lead the life we've been assigned, and we have all been name tagged to a race. So when hard days come, what do? We lift our eyes up. You pull your eyes off the horizontal earth and on Jesus. Realign your vision to a heavenly perspective. Because the truth is, if you lower your eyes and look at your race, that's going to slow your endurance all day long. But if you lift your eyes and look at the coach, the author, the king, see, that's different. I just take so much comfort in that, knowing that, you know, he holds our face in his hands and says, trust me in this. Just keep going, keep running, lead the life I have assigned to you. How could we not? So, not only were we designated to our race, but number two, we are designed for it. Okay, and this turns us to Psalm 139. Switch over to this. Oh man, do I love this. Psalm 139, check this out. We'll start in verse 13, although it's tempting to just read the whole thing. Check this out. Verse 13, we'll start. Heads up, because we're going to pull a bunch of these words out of now the Hebrew, right? Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek. So I'm going to pull some of these words out for us to look at them, not in the English, but in the original intent. It says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. Pause. When were all your days written in the book? Before you were born. The days that you formed for me. Stop it. When as yet there were none of them. Stop. Okay, let's read that again. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every single one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. Isn't the Bible awesome?
Yes.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Look at this. Embroidered is what it means.
Wow. That's so beautiful.
How intimate is that? Intricately woven, okay, but embroidered, Diane? Diane quilts.
Yeah. That means you see like a tapestry, the beautiful front. You don't see all the knots. Okay. And things
on the back. That's a good.
We were intricately woven, embroidered. Like a tapestry. How intimate is that? To sit down and embroider something means it's in your hands. You're doing one project, right? You're making something beautiful. It's intentional. It's on purpose. This is the imagery that is used for how we were wired by our creator. It wasn't just another baby is coming. No. I see this baby and it makes me think of my baby. In the NICU, Sebastian William, who came at 26 weeks, 4 days, 1 pound, 14 ounces, and he was perfectly woven. Already. And that's just the baby part, but then you've got his giftings and the way he's wired and his character and his personal things we get to explore when that kid comes out of the NICU. But I remember I've got a framed picture of his toes. Mella took a picture just of his feet, which is hard to get a scale because it's zoomed in. But I was like, it's perfect. And then you read this and you just want to burst out crying because it's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And everybody had that much intention, but it wasn't just our bodies, which are complex, more than we'll ever know. But it's more than that. It's who you are. Your DNA. Your giftings, the way you're wired, your personality, it's the aspects and attributes of the Lord that he gave to you, and he knit all these things together. That's one word in this psalm. Let's look at another one. Wow. Formed. Fashioned. Planned. Like a potter squeezing into shape. It's another intimate moment. First, he was it's not seamstress because he's a guy. What would it be? Anyway, whoever, he's embroidered us together, but he also is sitting at this potter's wheel and he's shaping us. It's just so beautiful. That we are also formed. You were fashioned. You were custom made. Your makeup was designed. And it's unique to you. It's unique to you. The way that you're crafted together in the hands of the potter and woven in the thread of his tapestry and written on the page of our poet. You were formed. You were knitted. You were written. This psalm says. And we fly through these verses. And you just sit in them a minute and go, wow. Check out this verse. Turn to Ephesians 2:10, which is my favorite verse, actually. For real. I'm not kidding. This really actually is right now because we're reading it. We know that our lane was sovereignly handed to us. But we were formed, we were woven, we were written for that lane. And check this out, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in who?
Christ Jesus.
Created in Christ Jesus. For what?
For good works.
Yeah. This is another verse you got to slow down. We are his workmanship created in
Christ Jesus.
Just to be cool? Just to be awesome? No. What were we created for?
Good works
which God prepared, check this out. This is another verse you could sit in all day. Which God prepared beforehand, back to Psalm 139. Before you were born. Because he intricately wove you, he wrote you, he, formed you, all of that. He assigned you a race And so he assigned the good works or the race that you would run. They all go together. He's like, this is who you are, and here's your blueprint. He wired you a certain way and then assigned you the tasks that you uniquely are qualified for. What? Come on, you guys. Okay, we're not even done with the verse. Okay, good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should ignore them. Hang them up on the wall. Identify them, but then not do anything. What are we supposed to do?
Walk in them.
You're supposed to run the race. Assigned. Right? Mm-hmm. Workmanship. In the Greek. Back to the Greek because we're in the New Testament, right? So we're toggling back and forth. We're back in the New Testament. It means a thing that is handcrafted. The Greek word is poema. P-O-I-E-M-A. It's where we get our word guess.
Poem.
We are his poem, and he writes our story stanza by stanza. So not only have you been personally handcrafted uniquely by the Creator with all your personalities and your giftings and your callings and the DNA of you, but the Lord, knowing how he wired you, then assigned to you unique traits that made up your blueprint so that you could do this. You're equipped for it. Before you were born, you can do this. The lane we've been assigned is not an impossible ask or task. He literally created that lane for you, that you would run it and do what the Lord called you to do. He set you up for full success. Before you were even born, you didn't even have to learn anything. It's just in you already. We were talking about this at our board meeting. I forgot to bring this up. Patty, one of my mentor mamas, we were talking about the race that was coming up, and you know, they were praying for us, and she said, we were talking about the Corinthians. This is way off task, but so cool. I told Matt, I was like, I have to share this. We were talking about Corinthians, how Paul was saying to the Corinthian church, I don't need to write you out my written resume. The resume is you. You are my resume. I'm doing what the Lord called me to do, and you're the fruit. You prove that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And then he talks about the jars of clay, you know, and like, it's just a cool passage about being confident in what the Lord called you to do because of the gospel. Not in pride, in humility, but confidence. Because I know the Lord called me to do this, which we should all have that confidence under the gospel, right? Not in ourselves. And he even says that, like, we don't have any sufficiency in ourselves. It's in Jesus. It's all in the same passage. So we were talking about that. And Patty said, you know, this is what's funny about resumes is when you write a resume, you put your name, you put your address, you put your skills, you put your place of employment, you put your references, and she says, who writes all those things? He gave you the name, he put you in the place, he's the one who signed your skills, he's the one who gave you all the experience leading up to whatever you're doing, he is your reference. And I went, whoa. Like when you write a resume, he already wrote your resume before you were born. And it just like was the coolest. I don't know why I never thought of that. Like we don't have to prove that we're doing. If the Lord called you to do it, run your lane. Run it. Which is what Paul was saying. What is it? run that, do that, and do it until the Lord tells you to do something else. Just keep going, keep doing what he called you to do. He's wired you for it, and he assigned you to it. You don't need any more permission than that. In fact, he says, go run your race. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand that you would walk in them. Right?
Yes. Yes.
This is wild. Just like a resume. That's the other thing, back to a resume. You know, you have a job, and then sometimes you, you know, promote out of the job, or that's a stepping stone to a different job. Same with the Lord. Your assignments may not be lifelong, but your blueprint is. Those assignments may change, but your blueprint is still the blueprint until it's over. I was telling you, like, I've done worship, I've done Awanas, I've done nothing. I've taught, I've, like, different assignments, and the Lord's like, you get Awanas for a year. And I was like, well, I'm going to run hard all year. And then that assignment was over. And he gave me a different assignment, and that's just true. Our families change dynamics. So, you know, you've got babies at home, but then you've got grown-up kids, and then you've got grandbabies and stuff. I'm coming at you, Sebastian. Don't you worry.
Lucky boy.
That kid's not even going to know what hit him. But our mothering assignments, we are still mothers all the way through, but our assignments will change. Like, that's just true about everything. But the Lord's the one who takes you off your assignment. You do it until he says to do something else. But there's always something else because he has already assigned, it is already stacked up until that last day, and he knows when that is. Okay.
Wow.
Isn't this wild?
It's so cool.
It's like I've never read the Bible before. I'm telling you. Like, there's something about just slowing down in these verses and pulling the full counsel of the word together, and it's just such a beautiful thing. So you were purposed beforehand for the race, for your blueprint, for the good works he designed for you that you would walk in them, right? Okay, so if we runners, the church, the bride of Christ, would only lead the life assigned to us and function, all of us, in the blueprint the Lord gave us and the purpose the Lord has given us with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Can you imagine the dynamics of the bride of Christ? If we would all just do what we were wired to do, what we were called to do, if we would all lead the life, imagine that. That was the idea, that we would all be doing it. And because we're all wired different, we all have different assignments, everything would be covered, mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
If we would all function as the body, bunch of members, one body, if we would just do it, imagine that,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Do it, run,
just
walk,
do it. Just do it. The problem is we don't do it.
Because we're self-focused.
Yes. Because we think the life assigned to us is ours. And we surrendered our life back to the King. That's what makes him Lord. And what he has planned for your day. Don't you want to do that? How exciting is that? I mean, my plans for the day are probably lame-o compared to what he had for the day. So what happens if things get hard and we start looking around? I love this story so much. You guys, one of the clearest pictures of comparison when we think that our race is not fair, too hard. We look at the lane next to us and they've got green pastures for miles, and we're trudging up and down the steep ravines, you know, our eyes aren't on Jesus. So we start looking to the left and to the right, and we're looking at other runners and start comparing blueprints and lanes. Go to John chapter 21. This is one of my favorite stories, you guys. I love this story because Peter stood on the shore after one of his lowest moments, probably actually his lowest moment, where he had denied Jesus 3 times and the rooster crowed, right? And he's in the courtyard and Jesus walks by him and sees Peter. It says that Jesus turned and looked at Peter at that exact moment, and Peter is just like, oh. Well, he decided to go fishing. And the disciples say, me too. Everybody ends up in a boat. Okay, after all of that, you can read the whole story. Peter gets some news from Jesus about his race. Peter's race. About his own blueprint. And check it out. Verse 18. Look at this. It says, Peter, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. When you were young, you had the freedom to do these things, right? But when you are old, someone else will dress you and stretch out your hands and lead you where you don't want to go. Speaking of his martyrdom, 68 AD, where Peter will be crucified upside down. And everybody there, the disciples and Jesus, all know that Peter is getting a prophecy about how his life would end. Peter, now's the time to commit agape because you're going to die for me. And the scriptures tell us that that is what the Lord was saying. He's telling Peter the manner of his death. And check this out. And after saying this, Jesus looked Peter right in the eyeballs and said, follow me. This passage is powerful. Follow me, Pete. Decide today. Follow me. Well, Peter, because it's Peter, okay. Well, look at Peter, verse 20. Peter turned then and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. Pause. John, the disciple, never used his name. Ever. This is John's letter. He never used his own name. So if John said John in the Gospels, he is talking about someone else. His dad's name was John. There's John the Bee, right? John the Baptist. He's talking about someone else. Otherwise, John, who's the youngest disciple, by the way, he's probably just a teenager, young teen, probably at this time. He used descriptions like the disciple Jesus loved, or the disciple who ran faster than Peter to the tomb, or the one who reclined to the right when we had chicken dinner last night, stuff like that. So just a heads up, in John, if it's the disciple with a lot of descriptions just to say his name, it is John. And so John says, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. Who is that?
John.
Okay. The one, by the way, we're going to give more descriptions, who also had leaned back against him during the supper. So not only is it the disciple Jesus loved, but also at Passover, I was there and I leaned right on Jesus, by the way. Peter, all that to say, Peter pointed an accusing finger at young John and says, "Lord, what about him?" You guys see that?
Yeah.
What about him? This is such a human moment. It's such a Peter moment. This is a Peterism. Lord, what about him? What about him? What kind of race does he get? What's John's blueprint? Does his ending look like mine? I mean, what trouble is John gonna go in? I want to know. I want to compare races right here, right now. What about the squirt? What about him? Tell me about John. Don't we do this? Tell me about John. Peter just heard that he would be crucified like Jesus was. And instead of dropping to his knees in humility, he goes, "Okay, but not by myself. What about him?" Tell me his end. I love this. I don't know why. It's my favorite verse. Jesus said to him, check this out. "If it is my will, Peter, that John remain until I come back, what is that to you?" Man, take that home. If in my sovereignty I have assigned John a race that lasts another 300 years, green meadows all the way through, easy peasy all the way through. If that is my blueprint for John, what does that have to do with you running your race for me? They do not matter. John runs his race. You run your race. What I am doing with any other soul on earth has no bearing on you. You, Peter, follow me. Peter won't get this intel. The Lord had no intention of giving Peter a lick of John's story, but John did die of old age. He's the only one. Every other disciple died martyrdom for Christ, although they tried to kill John several times. There are reports that they tried to stab him in the back, and that didn't work. 100% true, based on any historical document, they boiled him in oil, and he lived. Then they exiled John to Patmos, which is where we got the book of Revelation, right? And at the turning of Caesar's, John got to come back. He preached at Ephesus till he was 100 years old and died of old age. Though Jesus, though, told Peter nothing. He says, "It makes not a lick of difference what I do with any other believer, any other blueprint, any way that anybody else is wired. It makes no bearing on you, Peter. You run your lane. You're the only one in it. You run it all the way home, and you keep your eyes on me and not anyone else." Sometimes we get caught up comparing our lane with someone else, their story, their family, their giftings, their pace, their finances, their chapter, whether it looks easy, whether it looks hard, whatever it is, comparison weakens endurance because now you are swerved from your focus. And you're not running like a bear is chasing you anymore. You're going, "Hey!" That is one thing about Hebrews 12, verse 1, our springboard verse, of course, is nodding back to the hall of faith and the believers who have gone before us, but we can be clouds of witnesses to the runners next to us. We can cheer each other on. Mm-hmm. And run your own lane. Peter got completely derailed because he's looking at John like, hey, don't do that. Comparison kills. It's a killer. We are not called to worry or compare or complain or fret at somebody else's race. We are called to run our race. We are called to run the race set before me, us, individually. Only let each person lead the life the Lord has assigned to you. Right? That's what we're supposed to do. It will feel hard and be hard if we start looking at the horizontal instead of lifting our eyes to Christ. That's where we start to feel the burden of the race, when we start looking at the alligator pit instead of at Christ. Like, I cannot do that. Yeah. He's like, what are you looking at? Every runner will cross the finish line, because their race is over, right? Their days allotted by the Lord will be over, and they're going to cross the finish line. It is then that they will look back, just like we came with Joseph, and say, yeah, none of that was wasted. I see your providential hand in everything, because the word says that everybody will say, righteous and true were your judgments, O Lord. No one's going to take Jesus aside and say, you know, 98% of the way, okay, I can see it. But there was this one thing. All right. And right here, this was not correct. You messed up. You changed my name somewhere. The postage cards, you know, got mixed up. You did me wrong right here. This is what's wild. Not one soul that ever breathed will say that. Every knee will bow. And every tongue confess. And at the end, everybody will stand before Jesus and say, you were right and you were true. Every mile, every moment. That means it was intricately woven. I knew how I wired you, and I knew what I wired you for, and it was perfect. Whether you saw it or not is irrelevant to the fact that I am right and it was true. And everybody will say that. That's wild. That is such precision accuracy. And that's how intimate he is with us. That's wild. So the Lord says to us, this is your assigned lane. You didn't get to pick it. You don't get to pick what the lane looks like or how long it is. But I've wired you for it, and I've assigned you to it. This is your race. What we say back to the Lord is, okay, then help me run the race with endurance, the one you have set before me. Not looking to the right or to the left. And we need help to run by the rules. And that's next week.